Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here's our assignment. As you read over how suffering happens for you, can you get a sense of the karma behind this issue? What beliefs, assumptions, projections, behavior do you consistently choose that results in suffering? Example, the good right person thing to do is to be responsible. Above all else, I must be responsible. That's the karmic choice I make over exercising. Record and listen to what you see. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini.
Hello. Who is this?
Hi, this is Margaret.
Hello, Margaret.
Well, formerly from Bishop, California.
Oh.
And
yes.
Now from Nashville. I just recently moved to Nashville.
Well, for heaven's sake, I'm coming to Nashville in April.
Really?
Yeah, so we'll have to talk. All right.
That would be awesome. Well, there are so many beliefs and underlying just karmic structures, I guess. A couple of big ones is, a big one that is with me a lot is this sense of, like, I'm missing out. So if I am all in this moment, then I'm missing out on all these other things that I could be, want to, should be doing.
Mm-hmm. All these things that don't actually exist?
Not in this moment. They just exist in my mind. That's exactly right.
Well, it's just fun to see right there, isn't it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, and, yeah. You know, life conditioning, well, is just constantly dropping in. You know, just all these possibilities, and it can just be hard not to be distracted by them all.
Oh, absolutely. Which, of course, we suspect is the reason it's happening, right? Because otherwise, you're just going to be here in the moment where life is.
Right, right. And then another thing that plays into that is that insidious the belief that there is. Other, you know, something to do, somewhere to go, someone to be. It's like we're trying to get somewhere. That's a tough one.
Yes. Well, and what you're pointing at is exactly the whole deal of ego, right? So if ego's only way of appearing to exist is not to be in this moment, then getting a human being to focus on somewhere else, something else, a purpose, a goal, something, anything other than this moment, that's how it succeeds in keeping this karma alive, right? Keeping these unexamined beliefs and assumptions alive. Because as soon as I believe I need to get somewhere, which means I need to be other than this person living this life, there's another person doing something else that I really should be. Once we
that's me too.
yeah. And so once we fall for that, then it's just got us, which of course is why we're breaking it down in this way. Because for you, as you realize, wait a minute, that all of those beliefs are just here to keep me out of the present. It's not like it's going to give me anything better than being here. But until we see that, we fall for it.
You know, there's another big one, too, is that, and there's a prompt and a want, desire, you know, to be responsive to and hear the little small voice and to life's mm-hmm. impulse and guidance. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. My guess is that ego translates that into, well, I should just do to whatever occurs to me in the moment.
Oh yeah. That's ego's version of being present, right? Whatever I, ego, suggest to you in the moment you should do, that means you're spontaneous. You're really in the moment.
Right.
And of course, what you've seen, obviously, since you just said that, is that's a scam. That is not the still small voice. One big clue is it's not still or small.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
It's busy making cases all the time. Well, you should this and you should that, and there's this and there's that.
And this sounds fun, and let's just do this, and I feel good. And
So, you know, have another drink.
So one of the other things about this, like the next step for me is really seeing how making commitments, and like you say, any commitment, and practicing with keeping that commitment is a way more to be with what's here and with life versus, and practicing with not going with everything that occurs to me during that time when I'm keeping that commitment.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's how you practice with all of the things that you've seen, everything that you just laid out.
Yeah. I'm really seeing that. Yeah.
This is what I choose, and I'm going to stay with this for the length of time that I have said I'm going to stay with this. It's building a muscle. Yeah.
And that's really big for me because I have seen for a while that that there's a big challenge to really commit in an all-in kind of way in a moment or with, you know, whatever activity that I, you know, I'm committing to.
That's right.
And so there's like room for, you know, spontaneity, you know, like I'm always willing to give that up for
whatever the next best thing is.
We need to
call it by its true name, right? Ego is always ready for you to bail on yourself and go with it.
Yes.
It's really excited about that possibility. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for that.
Well, you are so welcome. Maybe we'll see you in Nashville. All right.
I hope
Take
so.
Take good care.
All right.
Okay,
all right, bye-bye. You too. Bye.
Thanks, Margaret. That's just so big, Sherry, what the insight that I'm willing to go for what's considered spontaneous rather than being wholeheartedly present in the moment for whatever is arising. And I can be talked into whatever is arising from life rather than ego and go with it in order to be spontaneous.
Exactly. And the core unexamined belief, I think, behind all of that is there's something somewhere else that is going to be better than this.
Yes.
And that fundamental, what would we call it? Well, it's a lie is what it is. Because only here satisfies.
Yeah.
Over there doing
and I love
that,
what,
never.
Yeah. And I love what you said, that we have to have that experience in order for that to become our choice and our intention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly so. Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bob in San Francisco.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, Bob. Hello.
So, it was great because in doing this exercise, I got to watch the process play out in doing the exercise. Essentially, it's kind of like the core conditioning, which is that I really don't know anything, so I need to look out externally to figure out how those people out there figured it out, and then I need to do that and do everything except check in here, get here first. And I was watching that with the exercise where, like, I was, like, doing it yesterday, and it's, like, really rising, and I kind of suspected something was going on. And then this morning I was here, and then I opened up the exercise, read it. It's, like, I see that pretty clearly. and just that process of, like, well, I can't possibly know So, but I need to be in a process of figuring it out so that people don't find out that I don't know.
And so big karma clarity there, right? Because right from the get-go, so so a moment arrives, and as you're there with the moment unfolding, here comes ego. Well, now you don't know, and you have been previously deeply conditioned to believe that. So you don't question that statement. Of course I don't know. Okay, well then I here's what you do. And you need to look outside and figure out how other people have figured it out so that you can figure it out. And you, we can just see that deep groove, right, that track that it takes you down. And now what you've realized is if you open up, in this case, you open up the assignment and you're present. Oh, I see. Oh.
Yeah. And it's funny because this whole session I've been looking at what I've been calling like the twin poles of this karma, which is urgency, which is connected to I need to figure this out right now. It's really more important than anything else. And then distraction, which when I look at the karma, it's really about hiding. It's like I'm gonna get in trouble for not knowing these things, and so I need to check out.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, the urgency actually leads to the checking out.
Because there's this urgency, and then there's that message along with urgency is like, well, you don't know. Wrong with
you're
you?
You're in trouble.
And it's like there's no outlet for a person in that. And so, I'm just going to check out because this is too painful to be part of.
Yeah. Oh. And the whole thing is so painful, right? Because you are going to come to at some point. And it has a plan for you then, right?
Well,
tried to escape.
Yeah, because, you know, it is the classic lose-lose situation, right? Because, for one, there's this, when I'm not paying attention, there's this belief that the point of all this is to actually help me make right, you know, be the right good person, you know, make the right decisions, do the right things, be the right, you know, whatever. When we're looking at it, it's like, well, no, the only point of this is to have me suffer and be in conditioning's grasp.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And it's so clear once it's clear, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't mean we won't fall for it again. But to me, the most salient piece of what you've seen in this is that when you're present, that groove doesn't even exist. You immediately have all the proof that you need that whole karmic belief, assumption, nonsense is not true.
And to me what that all really points to is like I just need to keep showing up, right? Because I could have very easily have stuck in that conditioning yesterday, not really seen it, and not opened it up and looked at it again today.
That's right.
Right?
But
there's a process where like
voice comes in, right?
Yeah. And then there's also like the person who, you know, part of the whole self-care thing I'm looking at is like what keeps me from having a morning routine that supports me. And so part of that morning routine, which I've done every day this year, is recording and listening first thing before anything else. You know, don't exercise, eat, don't drink, don't go running, don't do anything. And so because that's part of the process, I've built up that habit and now that's going to support me.
And you're committed to listening to present moment guidance. When you receive that guidance, you're committed to following it. So that still small voice suggests, look at it again. Look at the assignment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because you're there and present, you do it. You open the book or the assignment, and and there's clarity.
Yeah, yeah.
So good. All right, I'm with you on
right.
the RL first thing in the morning. It is the way to start the day. And we can see in what you just said the con that's set up. Oh, well, yeah, but do this first. You know, exercise first, or have breakfast first, and then we just slide off because we've already said yes to the devil. And as soon as we do that, you know, it's not that we're a bad person for doing it. That's not the point. The point is we're not here enough to listen to the guidance that is going to take care of us through the day.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
All right.
All
thank
right.
you so
thank
much.
Thank you, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
You know, what I was seeing in that conversation, Sherry, is simply how as we practice, the karma becomes really, really clear.
Mm-hmm.
That's the entire karmic process. We're able to describe it with such accuracy in terms of how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
when we get to the clarity of the karma, which is not to be here, then we can set up what would support us to counteract that karma, which is the first thing in the morning. Because when I wake up into the ego orientation, and what I need to do is to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think we're asking everybody or encouraging everybody to get real clarity about what do you choose instead of what supports you.
Mm-hmm.
If you know that, you can set yourself up to support yourself to choose the other thing.
Yes, well, and what I just saw when you said that is that in the beginning, so what we're talking with Bob about is hearing the still small voice and following the guidance. Now, that's definitely where we're going, and that's the best kind of spontaneity that there is, right? But in the beginning, we are just kind of with brute strength changing habits.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I don't record and listen first thing in the morning because I feel like it, because I want to, because I have something to say, because I do it because this is what's going to enable me to get to the next more subtle level.
Mm-hmm.
And I have mm-hmm. to know that that's the process that's going on. It's like fitness, right? First, I go to the gym. And then I'm systematically making more and more subtle movements to move me to the place that I want to be.
Yeah. 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 And what I hear you saying is it's compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, in that it's an emerging clarity. You don't
yes.
know, but you sense.
Yes.
So you do
yes.
till you get the clarity. And when you get that clarity, you do more in order to get more clarity. The process we're in is clarification.
Yes, clarifying.
Yes.
Right? Yeah,
yes.
that's really good. So when I first discovered Buddhism, I found out the Buddha said meditate. Okay. I don't know what that is. I don't know why. Really? Okay. But I had a sense that the Buddha knew what I wanted to know, and he said to meditate. Okay, I'm going to meditate.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing here, whatever our version of that is.
Yes, exactly so. And it seems to me that that's the only way, it's what Jen was talking about yesterday, that we arrive at the fact that the choice that ego offers is always two bad choices.
Mm-hmm.
And that enables us to see what the choice that life is offering us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we have to know that and accept that the two choices I'm being offered are bad choices, and therefore I need to look for the other one.
Yeah. Yeah, so as Bob pointed out, I need to be present.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Well, it figures I would get on the show right as I put a bite of food in my mouth. This is Ladima.
Hello, Ladima. Happy lunch.
So,
what are you seeing?
Well, I'm having a little bit of trouble just keeping up. I started out with a, you know, energy to and purpose and motivation mm-hmm. to keep up, and had a hard time deciding on what my thing should be, and so I'm still sort of in that. Every day a new different thing comes into mind of what I should focus on.
Well, may I make a suggestion at this juncture?
Sure.
How about make it showing up?
I like that. And could you be a little more specific?
Easy. Well, you're gonna show up for this class, for this retreat.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of I'm going to go to the gym every day, or I'm going to eat a healthy meal every day, or I'm going to, you know, whatever that kind of specific that some folks seem to be working on, yours would be I'm going to show up for this class.
Yeah.
It seems like a very comprehensive kind of self-care, especially when it's after you start out with enthusiasm. And then, where are we, day 11 or 12 or something, it's already got you into headed down the road of feeling bad because it's preventing you from keeping up. And that phrasing is accurate. The system that you're attempting to free yourself from is keeping you from showing up for what's going to free you of it.
Right. Okay. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. One-stop shopping.
Right. Yeah, the showing up that I have been able to do most every day is be on the call.
There you go.
So.
And what a perfect commitment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, mm-hmm. Will you always, for the next, I don't know, you know, hundreds of days that we're going to, will you always? No. But that doesn't mean you need to quit. That doesn't mean there's something wrong. That just means you missed a day. All right, what are they up to today? Let's find out. Let's have lunch with Sangha.
Yeah. Yeah, I think part of, you know, what's going on in the background for me is I just went through a big loss. And I lost my mom. And mm-hmm. so I'm going through that grieving process, and I keep asking myself, okay, what is the Zen way to do grief?
No, don't do that.
Grief.
I can tell you the Zen way is not to ask that question. Don't ask that question.
Okay.
Yeah, because all you're going to get is conditioned mind telling you how you should be and what you're doing wrong. You've done that before.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Basically, that's what ends up that's what's been happening.
That's right. So here's a suggestion, okay? You've never lost your mother before. You have
right.
no experience with this. Neither has anybody else. So nobody but you knows how you will grieve, and you have a chance to find out.
Okay.
Yeah, you get to be with mm-hmm. her as she goes through this loss. Not judging, not criticizing, not having better ideas, but just being with her as she goes through this.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just the way you would with anybody that you loved.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah. So no more standards. And what you're going to do is you've committed to being with us every day to receive some support, some reminders for what we just talked about. That's it.
Okay.
Good deal. Enjoy the rest of your lunch.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Ladima. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ladima. Sherry, we have time for one more caller, so here we go.
Okay. All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Janice. I've just finished my 1 week self-retreat.
Oh, bless your heart. You're feeling, you sound good. You're feeling better?
Yes. It's not perfect, and it's good enough. So I was in the queue every day. That was my commitment. But what I saw, those two sides of the duality, the thing that I want to do is really pay attention to my body and to take care of myself. So I know that that's the ultimate, is the tuning into the body.
Mm-hmm.
And
because that's your source of connection.
Yes.
Right? We are sentient beings. Yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to do that before I take care of anything else. And in my mind, I was like a train going down the track and heading to the monastery for my 1 week,
mm-hmm.
which I was so looking forward to. And I got sick. I had 2 days in Seattle that I was just spending before I carried on, and I got sick. And with the communication, I realized, like, I was just, I was still moving forward thinking I was getting better, and I was getting worse.
Mm. Being told, I would imagine.
Yeah,
being told. You were getting better,
yeah,
as you were getting worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
just
then
ignore it. Just ignore it. You're fine. You're fine. You're going to be, yeah, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. And, you know, thank goodness for clear communication with the monastery, you know, right up to the sort of last day before having to leave, that, you know, not, it wouldn't be a kindness to, I saw, it definitely would be a hardship to the monastery. It'd be a hardship to my body. And
mm-hmm.
I really thought the only solution would be to go home. And that was going to be really a big hardship to the person who's there.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't need to
get
sick.
Who doesn't, getting sick would be devastating. And,
mm-hmm.
The retreat, what I did is I moved myself into a hotel in Seattle, and it's a city I don't know. But I just rested and took care of myself. And that opened up a new way of looking at how I'd pushed myself, or how ego had pushed me for so long to not really know what was going on, how exhausted I was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it eliminated the taking care of anybody else.
Yeah. Don't you feel so cared for in that kind of thing?
I totally.
Yeah. Ego just would want to rail and scream and yell, and it's wrong, and how can this be happening, and this is a huge mistake. And what you got to see, you would not have seen very likely. Certainly, we can guess you wouldn't have seen if you'd come to the monastery sick. But
mm-hmm.
being there with nothing to do except tune into you, you got to be in touch with how exhausted you are.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I had moments where, and plus I was in communication with my partner, so there was relief on that end that the person could communicate. So and for me, that I knew, okay, at any point I could turn around, but that's not going to help. Really, it's not going to help either of us.
And right, I would imagine, would be totally supportive of you not coming home and giving him whatever was going on with you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. And I found little things as I went, and then they became, you know, like really wonderful discoveries in a city I didn't know that. I mean, like the library was gorgeous, and then, you know, Chihuly glass, and, you know, just like looking at beauty and discovering it, and then going back and having a nap or having something to eat, just a little bit every day when I started to feel better. And I have just come back a very happy person.
Right. I think that's a beautiful summation. You know, we listen to life, we're present, we let ourselves be taken care of, we receive that, and we're happy.
Yes, and everything, coming back to what's the same, it looks different now.
Yeah, you're not the same, so it's not the same. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for practice.
All right. Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad you listened, and I'm so glad you got to have that retreat.
I am too.
All right. Thanks, Janice.
Gassho, everybody.
Gassho.
Thanks, Janice. It's so wonderful when we listen to the still small voice. It's not what we wanted, but boy, is it what takes care of us.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and just to realize that what we're submitting to is a wisdom and a kindness that is greater than we can ever experience in any other way than through that submission.
Yes, and the part about it I love so much, Sherry, is that it doesn't trumpet that. The
right.
Surrender is the only thing that gives it, that lets you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I just love it. And when we get to know that, it becomes so much easier to give up the I, to let go of the I, because we're not giving up anything. We're in the process of getting something so much bigger than what we have to surrender.
Yeah. If we had more time, we could do all the stories about that, you know, about the people who hold on to this paltry little tiny thing and because they're clinging to that rather than opening to a vast treasure. So,
mm-hmm.
But we don't have time for that.
But we do have time for the assignment all day today.
Oh,
it's all about that.
Uh-huh.
Because it says, what possibilities might be available if you dropped out of ego's either or framing of the issue, regardless of what you see.
Uh-huh. We have a hint here, huh? Right.
Yes.
Oh, very good.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Go happy.
Go happy.